Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You despise small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir. I believe this is going to be our final show.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance and subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. And the feature article this week is about looking in the wrong places, looking for answers in the wrong places. I think you'll enjoy that article. It's a little bit of a fable, not completely a fable, but kind of like that. So I think you'll find it interesting. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and our friend. Governor DuPont is his resume is just chock full of public service. He's been a state legislator. He was a U.S. congressman. He was a governor. He's a former governor of the great state of Delaware. And in 1988, he honored our political process by running for president of the United States. What a great thing that must have been. What a great experience that must have been for him. He's now the policy chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, and I'm glad to say he's our friend. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thanks for having me on again. I hear your show from time to time, other than when I'm on it, and it's really good.
I appreciate that.
So I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Governor, one of the reasons I wanted you to be on the show today, besides the fact that you're a really cool guy, is that today's Election Day in America, and you know it's also an off year, as you know. This is not the year that congressmen and congresswomen are elected there every 2 years. No senators, if I'm not mistaken, no senators are rotating this year. This is kind of an off year, an odd year. But in some parts of the country, there are elections, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Mississippi and Kentucky are deciding their governor today. Philadelphia is deciding their mayoral situation today, and some others around the country, a few of those. But before we get into any of those races, I want to talk about, I'd like for you to join me in talking about the importance, the criticality of Election Day in America, what that means, not just to you and me as Americans, but to anybody, any human being seeking liberty around the world. And I make the proposition that it's very important. I want to read something here that's from the Fortune of the Republic by Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, "We began with freedom. America was opened after the feudal mischief was spent. No inquisitions here, no kings, no nobles, no dominant church." And I love that quote from his book. And what I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that this liberty thing, this wonderful thing we call freedom, that we call liberty, it really began with the United States of America, didn't it?
It sure did. It had some roots in Great Britain.
Yep.
The American Constitution, after the Revolution, 1776, the American Constitution really established a very different country in the history of the world, and it's gone on, as we all know, to be an extraordinary success. And I think there's two real reasons for that. One, of course, is the Constitution itself, which lays out the Bill of Rights, which establishes the Congress, which says what the Congress can do, what it can't do. And the other is really in the news today, which is the election. And the fact that we have an election, that every couple of years you can go into the voting booth, close the curtain, decide if you want this person or that person as your governor, your senator, your state representative, your county person, your mayor. That's an extraordinary thing. And as we all know, when you go into that voting booth and push the buttons and then come out again, you kind of shiver. It's an extraordinary experience.
It's like hearing the flourish in Star Spangled Banner, isn't it?
It's like hearing the drums and the drums and the trumpets, and you know, the Constitution's an extraordinary document, and this is the one day, Election Day is the one day that you get to participate kind of 100% in what's going on. Yes, you have the protection of the Bill of Rights on every day, but on Election Day, you get to go in and do your thing and say your piece, and sometimes those elections are very close, and oftentimes the person who wins has the opportunity to change the policy direction of the country or the state or the city a little bit, and just having that power in the hands of people, that's an extraordinary thing. It's what makes this country what it is.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this some more and what that means around the world and what it has meant for the last 220-something years around the world. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with our friend Governor Pete DuPont.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Don Lambro is going to join us. Don is, we're going to continue a little bit of this political discussion in the next hour with Don Lambro, who's the chief political reporter for the Washington Times. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with Michael Cox, who's the chief economist and vice president with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. He's also a Pulitzer Prize nominee for his book, Myths of the Rich and Poor. And we're going to talk about free trade when we're joined by Mike, and that's coming up in the next hour. We're visiting with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont, and we're talking about Election Day in America. You know, Governor, you made a good point a minute ago. You reminded me that I made the statement that it started with the U.S. That wasn't really as accurate as it should have been. We took it to a level that has been exportable in a way that no one has ever seen before. But you're right; it did begin in the early days with the in England with the English Common Law, which I give credit to Henry II for. The Magna Carta, there was the Bail Act, the Petition of Rights, the habeas corpus. We think about habeas corpus. That was an English thing that happened in 1679. Also, England had their own Bill of Rights in 1689. But the difference was they still had that feudal baggage, didn't they, over there, that we broke away from.
Yeah, they still had a monarchy. But I think any historian would tell you that the roots of America are very deeply planted in British soil.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all kind of started. But we took it to a very different level, and the idea that there was going to be an elected president and he served only a limited number of terms, and then a new one had to be elected. The idea that you had a constitution that laid all these things out for everybody to see, and it's a small document, the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Constitution. It doesn't take long to look through it. Those were really earth-shattering events. Didn't look so at the time, but looking back those couple of hundred years, it's been extraordinary.
Yeah, and we did it sans kings, as you said. We did it without the kings, and that was the thing that was sticking in the craw of the founders, is they wanted to do it without the kings. And I was just going to say that the thing that we have here in America, that we have the ability to change every election day to some degree, if not to a great degree, is something that people around the world look to, whether they like us or not, whether they agree with our policy of the day or not. They do value that. They do envy that, don't they?
They do. And, you know, here we have a country in which we decided that ordinary people, everybody, was going to get to make the decision about which way the country went. And that doesn't happen anywhere. It certainly didn't happen in communist Russia. It's certainly not happening in China. It's not happening in dictatorships around the world. Even the European Union is writing a constitution that's some 60,000-70,000 words that's trying to detail this and that and the other thing. We say, look, every 2 years we're going to let everybody go to the polls. make the decision about who ought to be elected in their area, who ought to be elected president. We do that every fourth year. It's just, you know, it brings a tear to the eye. It's a wonderful system, best system in the history of the world.
And, you know, talking about Election Day, one of the things I've always thought was ironic was that the dictators, the communists and the fascists and, you know, the Saddam Hussein types that we've had over the last 100 years or so, even though they rule their countries with an iron fist, they still had elections. think about it, you know, they still held elections. You could only vote for one person, but they still held elections. So what does that tell you about what people want? I mean, they at least tried to act like they were being democratic, but, you know, the truth is they weren't, but still they were holding up that you know, that image, weren't they?
Well, Soviet elections and Soviet Russia, I would say the word elections had quotations on either end of the word, but they thought that they were sounding better if they said, look, everybody gets to go vote, mm-hmm. but of course there was only one candidate,
right.
Only one candidate in Cuba, only one candidate in a lot of dictatorships, but America, as I have been saying, America has absolutely the best system.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why, folks, even though today is not a momentous election day, except in a few places, which we're about to mention, we should never take this day for granted. This is an incredible right that we have, and we should never take it for granted. Governor, there are a couple of elections, three governor elections. There's one in Louisiana that's not going to be decided for a couple of more weeks, I think, a few more weeks. But then there is one today in Mississippi and one in Kentucky that's going to be decided today, unless there's some kind of a Florida mix-up or something, isn't there?
Well, there are two very important elections. The incumbent governor in Mississippi, Governor Musgrove, is up for re-election, and Haley Barbour, who used to be the Republican national chairman,
right,
some years back, he's challenging him. The polls show Barbour with a small lead, but I think within the margin of error. So that's going to be close. Over in Kentucky, they haven't had a Republican governor in Kentucky in 32 years.
Yeah.
And the attorney general, the incumbent attorney general, is running as the Democrat, and Representative Bernie Fletcher is the Republican. And the polls give Fletcher a small lead, but that, too, is close to the margin of error. So people in those two states are going to get to make a big decision between now and 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Which could have an impact on the election a year from now. No question about it. Stand by,
sure,
Governor.
Could.
We're going to take a quick break. Governor Pete DuPont is going to continue his visit with us as we continue our discussion on Election Day in America. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Here's a quote from John Dickinson. We're visiting with Governor Pete DuPont, by the way, and we're talking about Election Day in America. Here's a quote from John Dickinson from 1776. He essentially was saying that the New World's concept of personal liberty and rights wasn't perfected to their satisfaction until it perpetuated rights that were, and this is the quote, rights that were born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. I felt like that was sticking his finger right in King George's eye there, Governor DuPont, when he said
Well, it was, and that came at the same time as the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So the idea of individual rights is the government can't take away, can't modify, right for you and I to talk on this program protected by the First Amendment. We can say anything we want. It's too bad, I guess, the listeners go away. But we have that constitutional right, and that's with us from the day we're born until the day we die.
That's right. Governor, something happened recently, though, that was a little bit of an aberration. It wasn't unheard of, but it was an aberration and fairly rare in the political scene, and that was a recall election in California. can you sort of deal with that in this discussion of election day? How do we reconcile a recall?
Well, that's democracy writ large. Not a lot of states have that provision, but some of them do, and you get a public official who you think is not doing the right thing, and if you get enough signatures, you can recall them. Other states have the ability to put things on the ballot, tax increases, new health programs, so on and so forth. So there's some direct democracy, but California was an earthquake. You know, the California economy, if California were an independent nation, would be the fifth biggest in the world.
Right.
That's a serious place. Mm-hmm. And they had a serious election in which the turnout was extraordinary. And the fact that they simply, by 50-some percent of the vote, removed their governor, picked a new one from a long list of several hundred, but
and this was a governor. This was a governor who was just elected a year ago.
Yeah, a year and a half ago. So that's kind of an extraordinary experience. And all of the usual things in politics, the worry about various, you know, issues, hot-button issues, that was all cast aside, and people kind of voted their economic interest. They say, we got to have lower taxes. We got to have a better government. We can't spend as much money. And they simply, as a group, walked into the polling place and said, enough of this. We're going to change things. And that's kind of American democracy writ large.
I agree with you. There weren't a lot of subtle nuances out there this month ago.
There sure weren't.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I think there are about 17 states. I think I read that there are about 17 states of the 50 who that have the ability to recall. So
right.
Could this become some kind of a new way of life? I mean, in, at least in those 17 states. I mean, is this something that could that is likely to gain some momentum?
Oh, I don't think so. You know, the ability's been there, and how many times has it been used in the last couple of hundred years? I mean, maybe half a dozen.
The last time was about 80 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, and. But the other direct involvement is when in Washington State, in California, and others, when you can actually have a proposition on the ballot that mm-hmm. we're going to increase the sales tax by a penny, we're going to put in a new health care program. Oregon voted on that a year and a half ago, and that kind of direct democracy is very popular, and hundreds of things are on ballots every other year in elections. So.
Governor, I want to stop you for a second because we're coming up on the end of the segment, and I want to do something before you leave. I want you to tell us about the NCPA, National Center for Policy Analysis.
Well, it's what's called a think tank, and when you get Michael Cox on, he's from Dallas. He's one of the best economic thinkers they have there, and he can tell you about it too. But it's a think tank, and our job is to try to get some ideas in front of people. That will convince them to go talk to their congressman. The most famous one we've had is the medical savings account, where mm-hmm. instead of company health insurance, the
right.
company puts money into your account. You can save it while you're healthy and use it when you need it medically. And mm-hmm. so we try to think up good ideas like that.
And that's ncpa.org, right?
That's correct.
ncpa.org. Governor DuPont, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we hope you come back again real soon.
Well, Jim, you're very kind. Thanks very much.
Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.